acoustic is great and everything like that. But anyway, but some of you are very gifted in singing. I am not. That's okay. And then the last one I want to talk about is spiritual gifts, which we're going to be really talking about today. And in definition, spiritual gift is a specific ability and skill given by God to enable the believer to serve him wisely and at their best in whatever place they're in, okay, especially in ministry. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But let me just say this. Denominations, okay, and I'm not talking about the coinage, but denominations as different parts, different groups of churches were not created by God. Such as you've heard about the Baptist, the Presbyterian, those denominations. But really, there isn't, okay? But these denominations are basically a result of human differences of opinion and interpretation of the Scriptures. And that's how many of them came about. And the topic and usage of spiritual gift is one of those differencing of opinions by many of these denominations, okay? And I hope I explained that clear enough. And so when you think about, and there's nothing wrong with them, it's just that how they see certain things. And in a lot of ways, there's still the core of Protestantism is about believing by faith in Jesus Christ, okay? That he died on the cross, and he rose from the dead, and he's sitting on the right hand of Father. All the Protestant denominations pretty much hold to that viewpoint, but they do have differing opinions on certain theological doctrines that may be different than others, and that's why they've kind of broken off into little the groups here and there. And spiritual gift is one of those things. So let me just give you briefly some of the biblical, my understanding that I believe the Scriptures talk about in general, and we'll all agree on this, is just how we interpret these three things that I want to talk about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when it talks about spiritual gifts, it speaks about the appearance for the common good, okay? And we're going to look at that in a few moments. So hang in there with me on that. Romans chapter 12, in that chapter, it gives a function through seven motivational spiritual gifts. And we will be talking about that the next time, okay? And then Ephesians chapter 4, which these are the three major passages that talk about spiritual gifts that we find here, is that Ephesians 4 talks about how the offices of the church equip the saints, and they are the people that are gifted in doing those roles. So those are the three major chapters that talk about spiritual gifts. And so we're going to talk more about it in the next coming weeks. And the reason I want to make sure that you understand is that all of this, the spiritual gifts, is for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. And it's given to each of us different ones for the purpose of edifying and building up the church. So this morning we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you have your Bibles already turned to there, let me just give you a few things here, some cautions as we need to observe in order to prevent any confusion in our study, especially specifically concerning spiritual gifts. Okay, the first one here is that we want to be sure that the Holy Spirit gives at least one gift to every believer. So each believer has received a spiritual gift. Let me also say that no one person has all the gifts. All the gifts that we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks, including today, that, you know, not everyone has it. And then gifts are to be employed for the sole purpose of serving others. So spiritual gifts are not to be selfishly used for ourselves. It is used for the purpose of helping other people. Okay? Another one is that, keep in mind, is that no one should be told that they have a certain gift. You see, the individual believer must discover that gift which God has given them. But it can be observed and it can be affirmed by other believers. So, for instance, if someone went up to you and said that, you know, I sense that, you know, God is giving you the gift, spiritual gift of leading worship. Well, that's great. But if someone told you, you have been called to be a preacher, or you are called to be a missionary, you know, wait a minute now, you have the gift of this or that. You know, it's nothing wrong with affirming, but the only one who knows is the Holy Spirit and you. And you need to discover that through your actions, through your practice, through your studying of Scripture, through just all the things. And you can get affirmed and observed, but only you will know that between you and the Lord. Now, you could tell someone that I have the gift because you've tested and you've tried it, but no one else should be able to tell you what you have the gift. That is a big flaw in, like, other cults. Okay? We don't have time to discuss it, but some cults will use that and say that you are gifted in this. And in reality, it is between you and God, the Holy Spirit. Okay? But please, do not neglect it either. It's very important that you look out and use it. Because if you're gifted in singing and you don't use it, you know, you're basically depriving the church of those gifts that God has given to you. If you've been blessed to service and you're not serving, you're depriving the church of Jesus Christ when you don't use them. Okay? That's kind of harsh, but it's true. All right, and then finally, I think I said it right. No. We are not to seek certain gifts because we think that we can serve better that way. You know, like there may be the gift of wisdom. Man, you know, I want that. Well, there's nothing wrong with being wise. But if you're not gifted for wisdom, don't ask God for it, for the gift of wisdom, okay? Big difference of asking for wisdom to how to live life, but the spiritual gift of wisdom. And we'll talk about what that gift is a little bit later on this morning. But you don't need to ask for certain spiritual gifts because the Holy Spirit knows what's needed in the body that you're a part of, okay? So those are things. And finally, having a spiritual gift does not necessarily make you spiritually minded, okay? That's very key. Just because you know your spiritual gift, that doesn't mean that you are spiritually minded. You have to intentionally spend time with Jesus and allow him to work in you and let the Holy Spirit that's within you work in you, okay? And that's the developing a relationship with him. That's developing a relationship with God, okay? All right, so I hope I gave you enough time to look in your find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be reading the first 11 verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. So please follow along as I read this morning. Paul writes, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." Neither do I. I don't want you to be ignorant either. Anyway, I do not. "You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift healing by this one Spirit, by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, interpretation of tongues. And all these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and he gives to them to each one just as he determines." So one of the biggest problems in the church of Corinth is that there was division. There was the problem of division in the church because each group followed their chosen leaders. I would follow Paul. Another group would follow Apollos. I mean, some will even say, well, I follow this church and I follow that church. It's almost similar. Okay, and they were using these spiritual gifts that God has given to them selfishly, and that's what Paul was trying to get at. He cared, you know, he cared for them as a body, as a church body in Christ, as an individual churches. But what was happening was that they were using it selfishly, and they cared little about the health or the well-being of the church. They did it for themselves, and so the Christians in Corinth had received so much abundant spiritual gifts, abundant blessings from God. You can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 later on. But they lacked spiritual graces, the kind of spiritual character that the Spirit longed for them to form. Because remember I talked to you about concerning spiritual gifts, and we talked a little bit about the tongues and everything like that. And remember, we said that the whole purpose of spiritual gifts and all having the manifestation spirit and all these things was to bring the church together, not apart. And this was a good example here, biblically written by Paul, to tell us what can happen when we either focus our spiritual gift and use it for our own personal gain, or for ourselves, or only for our little clique. And the whole purpose of the spiritual gifts is to help the entire body of Jesus Christ. And you know, you're here not by accident, because each person that's here is here for a purpose that God has placed. It wasn't just by accident that you came. You came to be part of this local body, and God placed you here. And that you should be a part of it. Now, there's going to be times where God may move you to another ministry or another church, whether it's because you have to go to college or because of work or you move or whatever. But all those purposes, God puts you there for a purpose. That's to build up and edify that body, okay? So keep in mind that the Christian gifts are not necessarily a mark of your Christian character or your spiritual maturity. But unfortunately, the church in Corinth was using these gifts very fleshly. And they weren't using it to help build up the body of Christ, okay? So I got a little head there, all right? So the purpose of our lesson or message for this morning is this, is that every believer should know his or her spiritual gift because the Holy Spirit placed him or her in that particular ministry for a purpose. And that purpose is twofold. One is to glorify God. And second is to build up the body of Christ wherever you are. So let's examine 1 Corinthians chapter 12 just a little bit in these brief few moments before our time is up this morning. The first thing is, and you can follow along in your big full sheet, kind of neonish yellow form, okay? And you can follow along with it. The first one here is that the Holy Spirit is important, okay? And a couple things here, and I think it's important. Look at verse 1 here as we look into it. Verse 1, and the first thing we see is that he reveals to his people what true spirituality is. Okay? Look at verse 1 and 2. It says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols." Now, what's interesting is that the original language that was written in Greek actually says, "now about the spiritual matters." But our translators in our NIV as well as our NAS and some of the others put gifts because later on, Paul not only talks about gifts in verse on the following verses, especially verse 4 through 8, but in other parts. But so our translators put gifts, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it because it's still talking about spiritual matters, okay? But I think it's best to understand that it's a broader issue than spiritual gifts. It's talking about spiritual matters, okay? And not just only spiritual gifts. So most Christians are concerned about what is spirituality. What is right? You hear that word a lot, okay? And over the years, lost my voice there for a second. Over the years, I've had as pastor, and for some of you, you know, I've been it for a few years now in ministry. I won't go into the detail, but it's
over 25 years.
Anyway, but all those years, you know, there's some questions that's always been asked to me. I've even gotten it here at this church, okay? And some of those questions have been like this. It says that, you know, how do we know when we are living close to God or close to the Lord? You probably ask some of these questions yourself. What makes a person really spiritual? You know, because you say, oh, you know, what does it make? You know, is it that he or she prays a lot that makes them all spiritual? Well, yeah, that's part of it. Mm-hmm. Is it that because they know more of their Bible? That's part of it too. Who should be the spiritual leaders in our congregation or church? And how can we recognize them? These are big key questions when we talk about spirituality and what's true spirituality and how can we tell who's really spiritual or not. And then, of course, one of the last ones is, can I even live a truly or authentic spiritual life? And if so, how? And unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, I believe all these questions
and more like the ones. Because a lot of people say, oh, can you just show me what I need, Pastor? It's almost like me, you know, you got a headache, you take a pill, and wham, it's gone. And that's what a lot of people want to do in their spiritual life. They want their pastor or the elders to give them a pill, and boom, I'm super spiritual. And maybe you need to go find a phone booth, and you rip open and you say, super Christian. And that doesn't happen, okay? But I believe if you really are serious, and I'm meaning this, if you are really serious in wanting to be really close to God, if you really want to know what true spirituality means, I truly believe that you will find the answers that Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through chapter 14. And if you honestly study those three chapters, I believe that the Lord is going to show you that what is true spirituality. And let me just give you a hint as you begin it, and I hope you will study it. I hope you write it down that you will study 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through chapter 14. And one of the key things that you'll find is it's called surrender. Are you willing to give yourself to the Lord? Are you willing to affirm Jesus as Lord? That's one of the keys, but I challenge you to read 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. We don't have time to look into all that, but I hope you will do that. But as we get back to it, during that time the Corinthian church came about, and when Paul was writing it, you know, Paul was a citizen, and the church in Corinth and many of the members were of citizens of the Roman Empire. And for once a year, they were required to put a pinch of stuff into, or whatever you want to call it, offering into an altar that says, Hail Caesar. Or Caesar, and they're supposed to put something down that says Caesar's Lord. And no Christian could call anyone but Jesus Christ as Lord. And so that's why it was a very difficult thing. And in fact, actually, it was a definite test of whether or not that person was saved or not. It's almost as if, like, you know, how do you tell when someone's a Christian? You really don't know who's a real Christian. They'll claim to be Christian. They may dress like a Christian. They may even use the vocabulary like Christian. But yet, do you really know that person is a Christian? How do you tell? When in a lot of ways, you and I can't. We can tell, in the only way we can really see someone who's a true believer in Jesus Christ is how they respond or act. How's their attitude and how's their actions? Now, obviously, we all make mistakes. But yet, if you're looking for someone, or if you're looking to see if someone is a believer in Jesus Christ, watch their actions. Watch their attitude. Watch how they speak. Those are very important signs that'll tell you. So whether you're at school or you're at work or even in your neighborhood, and whether they say that, oh, I go to a church, that's great. That's fine. But to tell that that person is a believer is by their actions. Look at what Romans says. Listen to what Paul himself even wrote this. He said in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, he says this in the New Living Translation. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. You see, whenever we do something, it's a lot of ways, it's our heart that drives us to the things that we do. Okay? Our heart, in many ways, and our mind, but mostly our heart, is going to tell us our conscience of what we're going to do that's right. And a lot of ways, we could try to hide it. We could do it for years, hiding our heart and thinking no one sees us. But in reality, you know what's in your heart. And that's going to show whether you truly believe or not. So not only is the Holy Spirit important, but second of all, we see that he leads people to recognize the lordship of Christ. Okay? Look at verse 3. It says, therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. And that's what I was just basically talking about Caesar. Remember? That Jesus Christ is only the Lord. And if you're a Christian and you've received Jesus Christ as Savior, the only Lord, the only King, the only one who should be ruling our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, what's interesting is that I was just meeting with some pastors the last week, and they were telling me, and fortunately it's not happening in our church, at least I haven't heard it yet, okay?
But there is a big debate going on today in churches that are even splitting some churches over who should be our next president, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Okay, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, okay, because I don't want the church to lose their 501c3. But anyway, but the whole point I'm getting at is that churches are being split right now because of who they're going to vote for, okay? And it's sad. And so anyway, a couple of the pastors were asking me, who are you going to vote for? Who are you going to choose? And, you know, because they're struggling. They're saying, do I say one thing and not the other, or what do I do? And I remember telling him, and I know it was by God giving me the right words because I didn't know really what to say at the first, but I said this. I said, you know, the greatest concern, the only thing I have to concern is this, is that whoever's placed in that position, we know that the Lord God allowed it to be put there because he's the one who's in charge of everything. He's the Lord, the sovereign over all. It is our job, and some of you may disagree with me here, but that's okay, is that no matter who becomes the president of this United States, we need to pray for them. Whether it's the president, the vice president, the Congress, whoever it is. Okay? So whether you like one or the other or none, that's really, you know, and I'm not telling you not to vote, because you should vote as a citizen of the United States if you're eligible to vote. But there's so many churches that are split by that. And you know what? In a lot of ways, we should remember that as Christians, instead of bringing it into the church and debating it and splitting church over it, we should be here focusing on Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that we don't have, at least that I know of at least, we don't have that problem right now, okay? And I hope we don't, because we need to remember that Jesus Christ is Lord, and God is the one in charge of everything. And even though no matter what happens, our focus, our citizenship is in heaven, and we should be focusing on God. Okay? So, let's go to the second one. I kind of spent a little longer time on that section here. But anyway, the next point is that the Holy Spirit invests in every believer. And that's right. He invests in each of us. Each of us, God has personally invested in you. Because one, he's given us the Holy Spirit. Two, he has forgiven us of our sins. So these are things that are so important. Look at verse 4 of verse 7. Because we serve, number one, the same God. Look at verse 4. It says, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God, working all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common man. Now it's interesting that many people hear the word serve and feel that they do not have the necessity or the qualifications to serve or do different things to help other people. Maybe that's true, but apart from God, you can't do anything anyway. But if God has opened it up and he has gifted each of us with a unique way in order for his purpose, we need to explore that. We need to use that. We need to give that out. If those abilities that God gives us to serve someone, we should use it. Take advantage of it. Don't waste it. Because God, you not only will you receive blessings, but the person that you help will also receive the blessing. So that's why it's important to use the spiritual gifts. Satan would like us to believe otherwise. Our enemy, remember, is the father of lies. And he wants us to not do those things. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, well, I'm just a junior hire. You know, all these other people that are sitting up there, they're big, they're older, you know, they're doing all the people doing this, you know, they're all older than me. You know what? You can be used. What God is looking for is, are you willing to try? Are you willing to use the gifts God has given to you or the opportunities that we have here? You know, we have a list that I've been showing every week, I don't know, for umpteen years. I mean, I guess I could ask Lean how many years that is. But anyway, but the whole point is that we have opportunities to serve. Don't waste the gift God has given to you. Get out there and serve the Lord, okay? And we have opportunities. This is a great place to learn how to do things. If not, you make mistakes, that's okay, because then you learn. Because God in his house, in his church, it's the purpose of building up and developing and growing the people. That's what we should be doing. And God has allowed you to be here for a purpose. Don't waste the opportunity. Okay?
One of the things that I'm really rejoiced about is that a lot of the college students, since I've been at this church, who have moved on to college and gone to other churches, they're using the giftedness that God has given to them, okay? And I'm thankful to the Lord because, you know, I hear it from some of them, you know, hey, you know, I just became an usher at this church. I just volunteered to be on the worship team at that church. You know, I began working with the youth at that church, not our church, but because they are able to use their giftedness that God has given to them, make sure you do the same, because we all serve the same God. Yeah, like I said, there's different denominations and different people, and you have to decide which one you hold to in your own theological understanding. But what I'm trying to say is that we do serve the same Lord. We shouldn't be fighting. We should be working together, because not only do we serve the same Lord, but we also are to seek to build, okay, the same body. Look again with me in verse number 8. It says this: to there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing spirits, to another one speaking in different kinds of tongues, to another to interpret of tongues. Sorry, I was about to say a different translation there. It says of tongues, but it's okay. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one as he determines. So what are the spiritual gifts found here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11? Okay, and we'll just briefly go over them. You can jot it down if you like. There's opportunity there, or you can study it out on your own a little more. That's fine. The first one he talks about is the message of wisdom. And this is not ordinary wisdom like we ask from, like in James chapter 1, verse 5. If anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God. This is a special wisdom, okay, that's mentioned that gives you spiritual discernment in solving certain situations, okay. That is the gift or spiritual gift of the message of wisdom. The message of knowledge, also found in verse 8. This is a spiritual knowledge, okay, and given in particular. And so, for example, if someone may have some kind of secret that they've been hiding or struggling, sometimes, not always, but sometimes that person, if they're humble and they received it from the Lord, can actually go. I think even like the prophet Nathan, when he went up to David, remember? And he pointed out the sin that David was trying to hide, okay? I'm not saying that's always the case of picking someone's sin, but they have a special knowledge of what's going on because God gives it to them. Remember when Ananias and Sapphira came? You know, how would the apostles know that these people lied about it? Did they have a connection with real estate? You know, don't know. But we definitely know that they knew that Ananias and Sapphira was lying. And of course, the result wasn't very good. But that is, in many ways, the spiritual gift of knowledge. Of faith, okay? This is not the same as faith or receiving in Jesus Christ to be saved. This faith is mentioned as a special kind of faith, believing that something is going to happen and believe that God's going to do it. So if one believer has a special need for something, such as like money or health or strength, some other who may receive special faith to pray for that need, and that person receives it. I've been around individuals who have this gift, and they don't flaunt it. But when they know that there's a special need, they believe God's going to do it, and believe God's going to provide. And those who do have that special gift, it does happen. Okay, so I mean, and then it's almost like what Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 11, remember he said that they would have faith, so much faith that they would be able to move this mountain to that mountain? It's that kind of a faith. It's an unusual giftedness that someone's able to do, and it's a benefit. And, okay, so I'll go into that one. But and then there's the gift of healing, okay? And there are gifts given for the purpose of healing the sick. And I know that James chapter 5 talks a lot about that, concerning the giftedness of healing. Okay, and how, you know, you call the elders, they anoint you, and things of that nature. But there is such thing as a gift of healing. I'm afraid to tell you this, and some of you may not like what I'm going to say here, but a lot of times if you watch the guys who do it on television, the ladies and guys, I'd question that a lot. Okay, I'm just saying, okay, I know that some of you may be watching them, some of you hear them, be careful. Okay, be very careful, okay? Because the purpose of the gifts that God gives us is to help build up the church, the local body, okay? Not for a profit, okay? That's what's happening in the church in Corinth, okay? Another one is the gift, miraculous powers. Now, this is different from the gift of healing because miraculous powers talks about a special situation, someone that's been inflicted with something, okay? But this one here is talking a little bit more about bringing the blessings of Jesus on a ministry, giving them the power, the Holy Spirit, all these things, blessing it and giving incredible, whatever it may be, to a larger group, okay? A larger ministry. Mark 6, John chapter 2 are two chapters that you can read about. Because remember, the miraculous power of Jesus, remember, he fed how many people? 5,000 people. He took that 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed all these people. Okay? God used it to glorify and to and as a blessing and to show, basically when Jesus did that, all right, we're music. All right. No, okay, okay. It's for the purpose of authenticating his ministry. But those who us who are humans who have that are doing it for the purpose of glorifying God. Okay? The gift of prophecy is not necessarily talking about future events. Okay? Some say that they have the gift of prophecy and a lot of people don't understand what that gift is. Okay? That's not to say that God doesn't use anyone because, like I said before, you can't put God in a box. But the gift of prophecy is basically getting a special word directly from God, whatever it may be, okay? And, you know, just remember, when someone says they have the gift of prophecy and they go tell you something, make sure that it doesn't go against the word of God because God never goes against himself. Remember, we talked about Jesus healing. Well, Jesus didn't heal in the name of Satan. He healed in the name of his authority and power, okay? So remember, if you hear someone say they got the gift of healing, prophecy and they tell you something, you know, compare it with the scriptures and see what they say, okay? And then the final three in verse 10, I think is an interesting ones that a lot of churches have differing of opinions on, the ability to speak in tongues, okay, in different tongues, okay? As you know, we talked a little bit about that, and I believe that this is the ability to be very linguistic, okay? Now, that is not to say that there isn't spiritual languages out there, but it comes in two forms. One of them is the ability to speak in languages that are known in other countries, and the ability, secondly, to speak in languages that are unknown in any existing countries, okay? And it's important to understand that if someone speaks in tongues in a church, you got to have the next one. You got to have it because it's in the Bible. Oopsie, I got ahead of myself there, right? Okay, there. Is that they need to have the ability to interpret, okay? Did I miss that here? Sorry about that. Yep, I guess so. Okay, so anyway, you need to have the latter part is that they have to have someone to interpret those tongues, whatever it may be. If they don't have it, they speak it, and they say, okay, you got to find out what it is. You know what? Then they're not biblical. They're not right. You have to have an interpreter according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay? So just remember that. And this list is not exhaustive, okay? And I believe Paul's purpose of leaving out all the other ones are more ordinary gifts that he names in Romans chapter 12, which we'll look at next time. But his point here is that we both are the difference between ordinary and spectacular gifts, okay? And any spiritual gifts is miraculous in its operation because the Spirit of God is working in it, and he's making it and blessing it, okay? But if your gift seems ordinary and you're wondering, you know what, don't worry about it. Whatever gift you have, use it. Use it for the glory of God. Remember, his purpose is to build up the body of Christ and to glorify God. That is what we should be using our gifts for. So, the contribution you make to the good of others, even if it's small, even if you use your gift and no one sees you, it's for the purpose that God gets glorified. And God does see what you do. Okay? Look at verse 7. It tells us this. It says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given what? For the common good. For the common good. And so you have a spiritual gift. So does the other Christian who received Christ that's sitting next to you.
And the Holy Spirit gave those gifts for a specific purpose, for the common good in the local body that you're in. And this tells us three things, okay? That first of all, that we who are Christians, followers of Christ, need to use whatever gifts we may have to contribute to the well-being of others. Remember, the church is not a building. This is a nice building. But the church is you, people. And in order for the church to function, is that we need people to work one another, helping one another, building up one another, and doing all the things that help other people, okay? Second, we who are Christians or followers of Christ need to intimately be involved with others so that we can minister to them and receive their message and their ministry. So what it's saying is that it's a give or take, give and take. It's mostly you giving. They're going to bless you anyway too. But the whole purpose is that you shouldn't be thinking about me sharing this so that I get something back. You're doing it for the purpose of helping them in the name of Jesus Christ, that you're helping them out, okay? That is what you should be thinking about, not because you may get it from everyone else, all right? And then third and finally, oopsie, I got ahead of myself there. It says that whatever gift you have, it has been given to us in order to be set us apart from others so that we can build up one another in the glory of God. So each of us has different gifts. Each of us has been brought into this local body to be able at this current time to build up this body. So if you're part of the youth group, you should be able to be part of that youth group and build up that youth group. And then as well as the whole English congregation as a whole. If you're part of the adult fellowships and part of the college, use that to help one another out. And then as well as the larger part of the church, the King congregation, as well as the whole entire church. All these are important. You know, Peter, who's a man who was a lot of things. One, he used to like sticking his foot in his mouth. But also, too, after the Lord had risen and he got right back up there, and he knew himself, and he knew all the things that God has used him and blessed him. Because remember, Peter was the one who spoke that incredible message in Acts chapter 2 when he did the message of Pentecost, and thousands of people came to receive Jesus as their Savior. Okay, but look at what Peter said about himself. He said this. Here's a guy, already known pastor, leader, whatever, apostle. He said what? I'm a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was no longer a man motivated by self-interest. You know, remember, he's the guy who was the first one to pull out his sword and decided to lop off someone's ear, right? He was the first one to pull Jesus aside and said, hey, you're not going to go there. You're not going to do, you know, we're going to protect you. And then obviously, who was Peter? The one who what? Rejected him three times, right? So, those are some things that we should keep in mind, that Peter, who understood this, realized that once he began following Jesus, he saw himself as a servant of God. And he saw that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with whatever abilities he was given, just like whatever abilities you and I are given, we are responsible for helping other people. And if we don't, we are missing out on the blessings God has given to us. And you are also depriving of the individual that you're trying to help in giftedness. Okay? So, and you know, I still, like I said, I really rejoice in the fact that how a lot of the young people who have left our midst to go off to college are using it in other churches and other ministries. And you know what? That's the beauty of it. Because we're still part of one body. And that's God's kingdom. We're working for that. We're not working for just the United States. We're not working for just the name of Home of Christ, a church. Okay? But we do have the privilege of seeing how they were being able to use some of the gifts here to be able to share it with churches in need so that they can use their giftedness. And I hope that you will use your giftedness to build up this body, okay, of Christ. And that's key. So, which leads to the one final question. Are you using your God-given gifts to build up this local body for His glory at this time? Only you can answer this question before the Lord. I can't answer it. Your parents can't answer it. Your spouse can't answer it. Your sister or brother, you may not want them to, but can answer it. But the purpose of it is that you need to know your spiritual gift and use it. Now, obviously, you know, if you want to find out, you're not sure what it is, talk to me later on. I do have these human spiritual inventories
Some of them are longer, some of them are shorter, and would be able to start guiding you in it, in what those spiritual gifts may be, and then you start blossoming in and following it. Okay? All right. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and close our bow our heads in prayer, and then after that, we'll have the ushers come forward for our offering for this morning. Lord, thank you this morning for the privilege you give me to share from your word. I thank you, Lord, for talking about and studying 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the importance of what spiritual gifts are all about. And I pray that each of us will be able to use those gifts for your glory. And thank you, Father, for everything. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your name. And we praise you for it. And help us, Lord, to be able to use the gifts you have given to us to help build up one another in this local body at this present time for your glory. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I forgot. Let me bow. Yes, I forgot to pray for the offering. Father, I pray. Thank you for the offering that we're about to receive. And I pray that you use it to further your, you help the leaders to use it to further the kingdom of God for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.